and welcome once again to CanonBlogger.com.
You're listening to episode number 63.
In this week's show, I'm going to talk about shoes and shopping and candy, and maybe I'll throw in a little entertainment gossip.
Honey, that's great, but that's not really about photography.
So, what's your point?
Well, the listening audience, they kind of tune in to hear photography-related stuff.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't want to do that.
Okay, well, I tell you what, it'll just be me then, I guess. Anything you want to say before we segue the intro?
Nope. Just maybe Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Mrs. Cannon Blogger.
Well, that's a nice sentiment, honey. Thanks. Tell you what, I'll be back right after this. Once again to CanonBlogger.com. In this week's episode, since I didn't really mention it in the teaser because Tracy and I were having a little fun, that was my wife, for those of you who are interested, the three talking points for this week's show are the Christmas wrap-up, I'm going to announce the new products line that I am reviewing, and then I'm going to take a look at the value of starting over. We will, as always, wrap things up with some Q&A from listeners and a final road tip for taking pictures as we head into this holiday week. As an announcement, kind of a PSA, there will be no podcast next week. I won't have enough time to record two, given the holiday activities. So no podcast for the last week of 2008. This will be the final episode for 2008, and we'll look forward to seeing you next year. So rolling right into our first subject is the Christmas wrap-up. On the blog a couple weeks ago, I had started things off with the idea that I would give you a top 10 gift ideas for photographers in your life, and I mentioned gift cards, flash cards, and Christmas cards. And I meant to continue that down with three sets of three and then one final biggie for the last podcast of the year. That's not how things worked out. So I'm just going to give you a couple last-minute ideas that may be useful that you can get locally. You don't necessarily have to go online or to photography-specific stores to get these kinds of things. The first thing is batteries. Photographers are always needing batteries for their accessories. It doesn't have to be the proprietary one that their camera takes. You can get them AA batteries. You can get them AAA batteries. They will find a use for them. Trust me when I say this. I've gone through so many AA and AAA batteries, I can't even begin to count. If you're looking for a good recommendation on brands, I happen to like the Energizer rechargeables, but I know one really good quality one is Eneloop, E-N-E-L-O-O-P. They apparently hold the charge very nicely, much better than your average consumer-grade rechargeable batteries. So if you're interested in getting some high-end batteries for the photographer in your life, Eneloop would be one to consider. Next up, I'm also going to recommend the GorillaPod. I don't actually own one of these. My brother owns one for his point-and-shoot camera, and I actually saw one on a rack in a consumer store just a day or two ago for SLRs. I was unaware they had them for SLRs, so I'm going to go ahead and make a recommendation you get one of those. They do seem pretty handy for the consumer-grade products in terms of giving you more stability than you could have just by hand-holding. They go for $15-$20. Very worthwhile, very handy thing to have for shooting on the fly. Last but not least, because we are in probably one of the colder times of year, I'm also going to recommend something I saw on someone's blog the other day. I forget who mentioned this, but the mention came with the idea of fingerless gloves. I actually own a set of fingerless gloves, and in colder temperatures, this can be handy because it'll keep your hands warm and it'll leave your fingertips free and able to control the buttons for your camera gear and other accessories, as long as it doesn't get too cold. When it does get very, very, really, really cold down below zero Fahrenheit, it can be rather difficult because your fingers will get too cold to even operate the buttons at that point. So they won't really work in extreme temperatures, but in colder temperatures, they can be very useful. Next up, I'm going to be taking a look at the new product line that I'm reviewing. So be sure you come back and listen to that. to segment number two. In this segment, I'm announcing that I'm actually starting to review some of the Think Tank product line. I contacted them when I saw one of their promotional ads for the Streetwalker bag, and I said I was interested in purchasing one of these, and wondered if they had any reviews or if they would be interested in formulating a reviewer relationship. They actually sent one out to me already. I'm currently using it. I have not completed the product review, but it is rather enjoyable having one of these products on hand before buying to see whether or not that is something that could work with my current gear setup. Again, like I said, I have not formed a complete review. I will have that after the first of the year, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. And this is on a new bag that they just introduced a couple of weeks ago called their Streetwalker series. It's a very cool bag in many regards. There are some pros, there are some cons, just like any bag system. But I did want to at least announce that and give some shout-outs to Think Tank. Thank you for bringing me on as a product reviewer. I will try and give an objective and professional review of your products. So coming up after this, I'm going to take a look at the value of starting over. You want to be sure to tune in for that one. Final segment today, I'm going to be talking to you about the value of shooting over. And the idea of this came to me when our local photo walk group had its recent meetup in downtown Denver. The theme of the shoot was capturing the Christmas lights. There are quite a few light displays around the downtown Denver area. Most notably is the Denver Civic Center that is all completely lit up. And one of the things that they do on various occasions throughout the season is they will turn off the street lights so that you just have the Christmas lights on the downtown convention center, the Civic Center, excuse me. And it looks really, really cool, and it gives photographers an opportunity to capture it without any stray light coming in on the scene. So I want to address that because on my first outing with the Photo Walk Club, I had an idea, and it hit me on a spur of the moment as I was approaching the Civic Center that the scene might look really cool as a panorama. And as I looked left and I looked right, I noticed that my perspective changed to give it kind of a distorted view, kind of like barrel distortion. And I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool to capture it that way and put it together in a panorama showing some pretty evident barrel distortion like a U? So I went ahead and shot the scene on the spur of the moment, wasn't thinking too much about it, and when I got into post-processing, I realized that there was already some inherent barrel distortion, the panorama wasn't lining up very well, it didn't stitch together very easily in either Lightroom or Bridge. I also tried some photo stitch software, and that didn't turn out too well either, and it's because I found out after the fact that I was overcompensating for the barrel distortion in the way I was holding the camera on my tripod, the way I had it angled up, the way I was stitching everything together. I didn't have enough of an overlay. There were several factors that were contributing to the quality of the image. And after some guidance from a mentor, a photography mentor that I have, I decided it was going to be better to just go back and reshoot it. And it can be a tough admission to realize that you just took a picture wrong. And there really is no shame in doing that, and that's what I wanted to address today. Because in acknowledging that you didn't take a picture right, it makes you aware of what you need to do to make sure the picture is captured correctly the next time you go around. And it can be a very valuable lesson. And when you come to that realization with pictures or with images that you envision capturing and they don't work out, when they don't go right, you can actually learn from things going wrong to make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's the underlying current of this particular segment today, is that there really is value in recognizing when you have to start over, because you can learn quite a bit, not only about your own vision, but about your own limitations. And in recognizing what it is you want to achieve, what it is you may have done wrong the first go around, if you get a second opportunity, it might be worthwhile to consider that. And in this scenario, I actually did have another opportunity to go and set up the shot correctly and capture the shot correctly, looking straight on, going left to right, with a 40% overlay in photo stitching, and then addressing the vision I had in post-process rather than in camera. And there are certain times when you do want to capture your vision in camera versus capturing your vision in post-process. And that was another one of the realizations that I had, is that different visions will require different processes taking precedence. And if your vision is something like a panorama, where you're stitching several images together, one of the things you're going to have to deal with is not capturing it the way you envision it in camera, because that's simply not something the camera can do natively. That's something that you're going to have to do in your post-processing. So it was a very valuable lesson for me, and I wanted to share that lesson with the listenership, because I really do think there is value in recognizing that not only is it okay to start over and scrap a photo project in order to start over, but that you can learn quite a bit, not only about yourself, but about your vision and about what it takes to really make good quality photography images. So that is kind of the underlying theme for this final segment. I think I've hit on a couple times. I don't want to belabor the issue too much, but it really is something that I had kind of an epiphany on that I wanted to share with the listening community. So with that in mind, I'll come back with our last segment, and we'll go through a cute little Q&A, some listener questions, and I'll provide some answers to the best of my ability right after this. Segment. The first question I'm going to take was one regarding lighting. This comes from Dave in Pennsylvania. Dave asked the question, when adding light to a scene, do flashes add tungsten or fluorescent quality of light? And in answer to Dave's question, I actually do not have an accurate or a completely accurate answer, because I don't know for sure. My understanding of the way hot shoe flashes work, and when I refer to hot shoe flashes, I am talking about the Canon Speedlight series and the Nikon SB series. These are the kind that you can attach directly on the hot shoe of your camera. I am not sure if these are daylight balanced flashes or if they have a particular leaning one way or another. I've read various articles from time to time, and some articles do suggest that one particular type of flashes will lean one way or the other. Some talk about the plastic cover that goes across the top of the flash can add yellow to the scene to make it warmer, because the flash itself can be cooler. It's kind of a toss-up. There are reports that can suggest different things for different people depending on the type of gear you're using. So an honest answer to Dave's question is I'm not sure. And to that end, I would invite the readers to feel free to chime in and hopefully share some of your knowledge with the listening and reading audience. So if anyone does have a definitive answer on what temperature light hot shoe flashes fire at, you are more than welcome to share that with the CB listening community, the Canon blogger community. Either you can email me direct, you can share a comment in the forums. So thanks to Dave for bringing that question in, and hopefully we'll get some listener response to that as well. The second question that came in today came in asking if third-party batteries are safe for your camera. And I wanted to thank Lynn for writing in on this one. Lynn wrote in from Wisconsin. And in answer to her question, this is going to be kind of a flimsy one again, I know, but the answer really is yes and no. It depends. It depends on what third party you're talking about, and it depends on in what capacity you're going to be using the batteries. For me personally, in my more expensive SLR camera, the Canon 40D, I actually am going to stick with Canon batteries rather than third-party batteries, primarily because it was a larger investment and I'm not comfortable with using the lower grade batteries. That's not to say that off-brand batteries don't have their place. They do, and many people truly get good quality results from the cheaper ones as well. That is the benefit of getting third-party batteries, is they're often are offered at a significantly lower cost, as much as 50% less than the camera vendor battery that is offered. I know the Canon ones are rather expensive, so it really is a matter of personal preference. For me, the answer would be yes, it's okay for less expensive products. I have absolutely no problem using various vendor AA and AAA batteries in my consumer grade products, but when it comes to my Canon cameras, my SLR cameras, I do prefer to use the Canon batteries in those because I know they're made to work perfectly with that gear. So thanks to Lynn from Wisconsin for writing that in. And the last question for this week is, what is the best way to learn photography? And as always, I'm going to kind of temper my response here, because there really is no one complete correct response in what the best way to learn photography is. It will primarily depend on how you learn. Different people learn in different ways. Oh, I'm sorry. This came from Kevin right here in Colorado. So thanks to Kevin for writing in with that question. And Kevin, in answer to your question, it really does make a difference from one person to the next. One person may be a visual learner where they need images and videos and things like that to help instruct them and walk them through how to do different things, while other people may work better from audio, and others still may work better from a reading perspective. So it really depends on what type of learner you are. What type of learner you are can often dictate the best way for you to learn. More than anything else, though, regardless of whether you're a visual learner, an audio learner, or a reader, or an activity learner, one thing that we can all learn from is actually by going out and doing it. The first thing I did when I got my first SLR 3.5-4 years ago, the Canon Rebel XT, was I sat down and read the manual. I read the manual from front cover to back cover, and then I went out and I did some shooting. I tried different settings, I tried to remember everything, and I couldn't. So I came back after my first shoot, and I read the manual again, and then I went out shooting again with the manual by my side. From that point, I did find it very beneficial, as I learned not only about my gear, but also about what makes good pictures, was by looking at pictures other people take. And a great way to look at pictures other people take is in online forum communities. You can look at forums, you can look at magazines, you can join local photo groups and share pictures with them and look at pictures that other people have to offer. But looking at pictures and taking pictures and practice really is what can make you a better photographer. So by and large, that's going to be the best recommendation I can give, is just to get out and practice, take as many pictures as you can. And with time, you will learn what works for you as a photographer and what doesn't. That pretty much wraps up the episode for this 63rd and final episode for 2008 of the Canon Blogger Podcast series. I'd like to thank everyone that has taken the time to listen in over the course of the last 12 months. I know I've flip-flopped from time to time with video and audio podcasts, and I think I'm going to stick with audio for the foreseeable future. That does seem to have the most listener interest, so that's going to be the forum outlet or the medium by which I communicate with everyone on a weekly basis. And again, like I said, there will be no podcast next week, primarily because I don't have the time to record two before we go on our vacation. And for obvious reasons, I don't want to say when we're leaving and when we're getting back, but I will stay in touch with the blog as we travel. I just can't take all my gear with me. So, with that in mind, I would like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. And on that note, we will see you next year. Take care, everyone. Happy holidays. Bye.